Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Kara Murray, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut this week. Last Friday, UConn students left class to participate in a climate strike that urged the university to take action on fighting climate change. It was part of a series of global climate strikes that happened around the world, organized by the movement Fridays for Future. I was there to cover the strike and why students felt so strongly about it. Take a listen. On Friday, September 20th, a crowd of University of Connecticut students gathered on the Student Union lawn to hold a climate strike, taking part in the global climate strikes that were occurring throughout the world. The strike, organized by UConn's Fridays for Future chapter, was dedicated to urging the university to take some important climate action on campus to fight climate change, according to the group's Facebook page. Fridays for Future is an international movement of students who take time off from class to hold demonstrations that raise awareness of the risks climate change poses and holds politicians accountable for their lack of action. The movement originally took off in 2018, when 16-year-old Swedish environmental activist Greta Thunberg refused to attend school and instead staged a one-person climate protest outside of the Swedish parliament. Others were inspired by her and began to organize strikes around the world. UConn's climate strike began at 9 a.m. when students left class and gathered on the lawn. A variety of activities were set up, such as sign painting, hula hooping, and even a performance from UConn a cappella group The Cordials. Educational posters were set up, and there were books to read to provide more information about climate change. Participants were also invited to sign a banner calling for climate change action that would be sent, along with a list of 7 demands, to the UConn administration. Among the demands were declare a climate emergency and stop the expansion of all fossil fuel infrastructure. At noon, the crowd migrated to the steps of the Student Union Terrace to listen to speeches before marching to Gully Hall, where the demands were read to UConn President Thomas Katsalaeus. Senior Catherine Morris, the president and founder of UConn Collaborative Organizing, an activist group for intersectionality and solidarity, was one of the students who gave a speech. Morris discussed the link between climate change and environmental racism, pointing out that people of color who live in poverty are more likely to be affected by the worsening planet conditions.
I want us to remember that we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children. Yet still, we have inherited a global crisis, and some of us have inherited it more than others.
Juniors Jenny O and Dana Chamberlain were hoping to send a message across a larger scale, not just to the UConn administration.
We just feel like there's no point in going to school, no point in going to class, if they're not even going to take people who go to class, people who get educated scientists, seriously. So,
for WHUS News, I'm Kara Murray. UConn Student Health and Wellness is launching a new condom delivery service called Glovebox to encourage practicing safer sex. Students can subscribe to Glovebox and receive condoms and other contraceptive devices each month. Our reporter, Shira Tall, has the full story now.
Modeled after popular subscription services, UConn Student Health and Wellness has created a subscription service that delivers boxes of safer sex supplies to students living on campus. Cassie Setzler, a health and wellness specialist for the Shaw promotion team, explained the concept of Glovebox in more detail.
Glovebox is Student Health and Wellness's new condom and other safer sex supply delivery service. So on campus, residents can order safer sex supplies through our order form and then receive a box to their mailroom. And they can receive either a one-time order or order a subscription to receive the box every 3 to 4 weeks.
Over 700 students have taken advantage of Glovebox so far, with 5 different boxes to choose from. Choose Your Own allows students to customize their own box. Larger Size features a variety of larger condoms. Non-latex contains non-latex condoms. Mystery has condoms, lubrication, and dental dams chosen by the Shaw staff. And No Glove features an assortment of lubrication, dental dams, and internal condoms. Setzler said the Choose Your Own is the most popular.
People seem to like having the ability to customize their experience. But the second most popular is the mystery box. So I think people like being surprised. Mm-hmm. It's also a really good option for students who don't know what they prefer yet and want to see what there is available. And so they can order that box and then try different supplies and then customize it after if they find one they like.
Setzler said the idea came about because the office wanted to find a creative way to provide students with safer sex supplies. She was brainstorming with UConn Sexpert coordinator Annika Vincent.
Take it actually a step further than that. We wanted to make the service really customizable and available on a subscription, kind of like those subscription boxes mm-hmm. like Birchbox and Stitch Fix, and there's some on like cratejoy.com. We want it to kind of be really, you know, classy and cool to get a subscription every couple weeks. We did some research, she crafted a proposal, I brought it to my supervisor, and
for students who live off campus in Mansfield Apartments, Northwood Apartments, the Spring Valley Farm, or Birch Cottage, where delivery is not currently available, safer sex supplies are still available in Wilson Hall South Campus and Hilda Mae Williams Student Health Services, better known as the infirmary. Setzler also emphasized the importance of having such a subscription box on campus.
So we know that 1 in 2 sexually active people will contract an STI by the time they're 25. And over half of all new STI cases are among those ages 15 to 24. The United States itself spends over $16 billion each year treating STIs, and that's just direct costs alone. So it's not like...
Setzler said that condom usage reduces the risk of transmitting and contracting HIV and other STIs, particularly among at-risk groups like young adults and college students.
So if we know that condom distribution increases condom usage, which reduces the risk of HIV and STIs, then the program is really a no-brainer. And while our department's always provided safer sex supplies and other and condoms to students, this allows students to provide a discreet way to receive their supplies and also explore their options and customize their supplies so they can have a more positive and safe experience.
To order your glove box from now until November 21st, visit studenthealth.ucon.edu/glovebox. For WHUS News, I'm Shira Tall.
We apologize for that minor technical difficulty. Hopefully things should be up and running smoothly from now on. But that's all the news we have for this week. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be talking to our very special guest, USG Vice President Manny Chinyumba.
Hey, what's up? This is Lindsay from Snail Mail. You're listening to WHUS Source.
And we are back from that short break. We will now be moving into the talk portion of our show. Please note that the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS news show are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I am sitting here with USG Vice President Manny Chinyumba. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Kara.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm happy it's Friday. We have a beautiful day ahead of us. I'm excited to be here.
We really do have a beautiful day ahead of us. So I guess we'll just jump right into it. I've got a couple questions for you.
Awesome.
So obviously you are USG Vice President. And I understand that this is your first time kind of being involved in USG. Like, you weren't a senator, you weren't comptroller, etc. You're just kind of thrown into here.
Yeah.
So are you finding it easier or more difficult than you thought?
That's a great question. So yeah, coming into it, I was pretty much brand new to USG. I had a few friends that were senators initially, so I would get kind of the intel from them. And then last spring was when I finally made the push and said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and run and see what happens. And I'm happy to say that it worked out. The first few days in office, I think, were challenging and just kind of getting accustomed to the role. It was a very dynamic position. You can really create and do with it what you'd like. So for me, the challenge was kind of looking back at my predecessor, Wawa, kind of seeing what she did and then seeing how I can improve on those efforts and then also trying to make my own legacy.
Nice. So what sort of projects are you working on this semester, and how have they been going so far?
So projects. Okay, so let's see. Vice President is in charge of a lot of internal matters. So, for example, organizing orientation for the new senators. We just wrapped up our elections, and I'm excited to say we're going to have 30-plus new senators coming into USG this year. And what's really great about that is it connects back to our one of our initiatives, which was diversifying USG. Because representation is more than just skin color. It's your socioeconomic status. It's your major, your hometown, if you're off campus or on campus. So we really wanted to recruit a great group of students And with that, I'm trying to make sure that I'm able to equip them, train them, to really make them to be strong leaders, and really be able to give back to this community and represent USG and also their constituents in the best manner. So that's kind of one of the projects I've been working on. Bigger projects I've been working on is with the food insecurity initiatives. So that's a really big conversation right now on a lot of college campuses. So right now we're kind of starting to find out kind of the nitty-gritty details. We've been working with Wawa and Abhishek, who started the U Cafes. And then we're also going to be working with other students on that regard. We're also going to be working on a lot of environmental sustainable initiatives. So not only seeing, you know, how can we as students be environmentally sustainable, but also our university as a whole and holding everyone accountable. And then I think the last thing that I've been working on, or at least the last thing I wrapped up, rather, was the Welcome Back UConn event. So that was one of our big, not only kickoff events, but then also pushed into our recruitment season. So I think that was really successful. We had a great turnout. A lot of students came out. And one student left the event saying, you know what, I think I'm just a little bit happier at UConn now that I've experienced this event. And, you know, when you're organizing these kind of things, you can get really caught up in the momentum and the motion, thinking like, oh, my God, there's 101 things to do. But it's those, you know, it's those last few lines of somebody just saying thank you that really make it worthwhile.
Yeah, so student feedback is really important to USG.
Yes, it is.
It would seem. How can students kind of give feedback? How can they let you know how you're doing? Because I know a lot of people kind of feel like USG and people in charge are kind of up here and we're all down here. So what's a way that you kind of hope to kind of have that opportunity to have students say thank you or let you know what's working and what's not?
I think the first way to do that is one, to just be visible. So I love attending UConn events, whether that be a basketball event, whether that be a program event, or whether that's just a guest speaker that we have, because it allows me to really connect with our constituents, with our student body, and see the interest and the needs that they have at a face value, not by me sitting in an office and reading the Daily Digest or UConn Today. It's just going out into the field and interacting with our students on a daily basis. So visibility is the first thing. The second thing is our office hours. They're all online now. They're all within the student union, and our door is always open. So we highly encourage students to just come on in and say, you know, hello, what's up? I have a few questions, or I have some feedback, comments, concerns. And the third thing is on our new website, or we revamped the website this past summer, and we added a feedback section. So students can kind of use a Dropbox system and say, this is kind of what's pressing me. And there's also a text field that they can fill in their concerns through that as well. Oh, yes. And my chief of staff just also reminded me of our town halls. So this is something that is going to be hopefully kicking off during the month of October. Town halls are going to be essentially a place where students, administration, faculty members, and pretty much anyone within the UConn community can come in and voice their concerns in front of Priyanka and myself and other USG leaders. So these are ideally going to be in a very public space similar to the union. They're going to be during the day so that students that during their class time or maybe just passing time, they can pass through, hear what's going on, or maybe give quick feedback, and then we can kind of connect them to the resources or maybe even answer the questions right there and then. So that's just a few of the ways that we're trying to make sure that we're accessible to students. But at the end of the day, we also just want to remind students that we are also students as well. So if you do want to interact with us, text us, call us, DM me on Instagram. I've had a few people do that as well and say, hey, I want to get involved in USG. So yeah, there's no closed door for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So with each administration, it brings in new people, new ideas, new campaigns. What about this administration of USG do you feel sets you apart from previous ones?
That's a good question. Let me think about that.
Take your time.
You know, I don't want to like tout any administration before me and say like, you know, this is what makes us unique. But I think that something, you know, to give credit to the past administration, I think something that they did really well was start to open the doors in terms of representation and diversifying USG. You know, it's very easy to be a political science major that is very into government and law and say, you know, USG is the appropriate club for me to join, organization for me to be a part of. But what about the students that are engineers, that are writers, journalists, that are coming from the School of Fine Arts? Representation does not, you don't need to be involved in politics to represent on, you know, people on your behalf. What you need is to be connected to the people that you're representing. What you need is to believe in the things that you're advocating for. And so something that Priyanka and I are trying to do really well this year is not only diversify USG, but then also empower the students once they are in that space, and tell them that this is how you can make change. One of the reasons why I joined USG is just because it's a great platform for advocacy. It's a great platform to connect you to the administration. And with that, you can really bring powerful change, whether it's going to be today, whether it happens in 6 months or 10 years. That's kind of the scope of USG, is that some projects we're working on short term and you're going to be able to see them come to life. Others, we're kind of laying the groundwork, the seeds for them, and they're going to come 5-10 years from now. But we also want to remind the students that we are recruiting that, you know, your work doesn't end when you leave the office. Your work doesn't end necessarily when you graduate as well. Sometimes you're going to come back and see things that you worked on, and you're going to be, you know, not only proud of those merits, but you're also going to be excited to say, you know what, I did make a change. Even though I didn't get to see it right away, it still happened. So I think something that we're really trying to work on is just diversifying USG as a whole and then empowering the leaders that we do bring into that space.
Nice. Yeah. As a follow-up question, I was going to ask, So USG says that this year they have the most diverse staff to date, I guess. So how do you kind of ensure that that keeps going after you graduate? How do you kind of set that precedent and make sure that for the rest of, or for the next couple years, that we keep diversifying?
Yeah, so I think it first starts with the individual, with having new senators, a fresh perspective, and then them also being connected to so many different clubs, organizations, and facets on campus. You are then showing other students that they can also participate in this process. Representation is not just about seeing someone on a screen that looks like you, but it's also, there's a second layer to it, is that it then empowers you, it encourages you to say, I can also do that. You know, I see Manny, who is first generation African-American male, I can also be that person that becomes, you know, undergraduate student government vice president at some point in my career, because we share those similarities. So I think that's kind of the first thing that I'm going to remind those senators when they're coming in, is that, you know, you have a mission, you have goals, and you have ideas, and those are going to be great. But what we also need you to do is then go back and tell your friends what you're doing. Because then, you know, when you tell an underclassman or maybe someone that's just a little bit skeptical about how to get involved in USG and they see their friend doing it, then you really start to bring in that diversity and you really start to grow it, enrich it, and retain it, ideally. You know, we're going to lay the groundwork this year by having diversity and inclusion training. So, you know, emphasizing that diversity is kind of one scope of it, and then inclusion is the next thing. You know, not only putting those students in that space, but then also giving them the tools and saying, like, this is how you utilize this space. This is how you're included in this environment. And so I think with that tone, I think it's going to carry a lot of weight. I think a lot of people are going to look at that and say, you know what, this doesn't stop after Priyanka and Manny leave. We have to continue this, because it's going to bring a lot of different fresh perspectives and new ideas, I think, which, you know, USG is one of the longest standing organizations. And we have a lot of great traditions. But that being said, we're also trying to be dynamic and change with the times and adapt as best as possible.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of changing with the times, being dynamic, what sparked the decision to try to make USG more transparent? Because I know one of the reasons why we kind of set this up was because you guys wanted to be more open and transparent with the community, and we were more than happy to do that. So what kind of sparked that decision, and how else are you kind of planning on continuing to do that?
I think with every election, there is a promise of transparency. And for the politician, that transparency is for us to tell you and show you everything that we're doing, and explaining how student fee monies are being used, and, you know, answering questions to the daily campus. But then there's another part of transparency, which is kind of just updating people about the day-to-day business, being accessible, being visible. So kind of going back to our earlier question about, you know, how are we going to really be able to be accessible to our students and really remind them that they can give us feedback? Well, transparency is also about being visible. And a lot of people, especially in the first few months of school, they've been just asking, how is USG going? What can we expect upcoming? What are you guys doing right now? And I think it's very easy to kind of, I think for at least for myself, when I'm still in the planning process, I don't like to disclose all the details. But sometimes people kind of just want to have an idea of what's to come, kind of like a movie trailer. It's coming soon. You don't know everything, but you know something. And so that's kind of what we've been working on with our PR and our marketing, is really just marketing our events, our initiatives, in all different platforms, whether that be WUS, Daily Campus, Subog, or through UConn Buy and Sell, the Facebook group. I think that we're trying to explore a lot of non-traditional methods, whether it be using social media, whether it's going into classrooms and speaking about things that we have upcoming and how they can relate to maybe an academic college or residential hall. We're just really going out there and not sitting in our offices anymore. I think that, you know, our location is great. We're in the Student Union, but it's still a little bit out of the way. You have to go up a few flights of stairs. You have to go around a few corners. So there's something to be said about leaving that space and then just going out and being out and about. Because transparency, I think the third layer to it is also just knowing who represents you and why they represent you. And I try to be consistent in that every day. You know, I ask myself, why am I in this room? What am I doing? Is it benefiting the students? The students are at the core front of our initiatives. And so just continuously reminding them of that notion is something that I think builds upon that whole transparency aspect. Other ways that we're doing that, I think, is through, you know, events like this, you know, being on WUS. We recently actually had an interview with the Daily Campus. So we're going to try to have monthly meetings, kind of similar to fireside chats, I would say. So kind of just, you know, kind of similar to this interview process, you asking us questions, and then maybe even just having a conversation about that and what that looks like. Because I'm sure if you're thinking it, then so many other students are thinking it as well.
Yeah, so like the main goal is to kind of show people, oh, I'm a student like you. This is how you can get involved like me. This is how we can kind of connect and relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not so different. So
exactly, exactly.
That's great.
And I've also, you know, told the current senators and the current committee members that, you know, emphasize all the different ways that you can get involved in USG. You don't have to be an elected official to be in USG. I think something that I was very intimidated as a freshman was the fact that I had to get XYZ signatures, and then I also had to be in an election where people had to vote for me. And as a new student, I was like, what? I can't do that. I don't know anyone here. Now I'm here 30 years later. But that being said, you know, it's just reminding students that you don't have to, you know, do that traditional method. You can get involved in a committee, and, you know, you show up after two committee meetings and you have voting rights. And now you can be a project leader, or you can, you know, help the chairs or the vice chairs. And so there's just so many different ways to get involved.
Yeah, so I know most people consider elections to be essentially a popularity contest, but mm-hmm. it's really not. It's the most dedicated person who kind of shows up, shows that they have what it takes, who really wins.
Exactly.
That's great.
I agree.
So you kind of knew I was going to have to ask this question, but so your comptroller was recently impeached. How has that kind of affected your goal of transparency? Did it affect it? Is there a goal kind of moving forward?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't try to shy away to challenging questions. So thank you for asking that. I think, you know, in the spirit of transparency, again, is just kind of being transparent about, you know, what did happen and what didn't happen. I think the comptroller impeachment was something that was, yes, it was a little disheartening because, you know, you do have to then adjust to those personnel changes. We've also having another changeover in terms of other staff members. So there are just a lot of adjustments that need to be made and adaptations that need to be made as well. I think in terms of this past impeachment, you know, it wasn't necessarily because, you know, I think there is some rumors circulating around that it's because he abused student fees. That was not the case. That did not happen. You know, he's still a student here today. I think if it was really that erroneous, there would be not just USG officials involved, but also the state of Connecticut. So, you know, those are some of the things that did not happen. In terms of what did happen, you know, there was just and this goes for any elected position. So if this was myself, Priyanka, is that, you know, if you are, if your constituents see that you are, you know, neglecting your work necessarily, they will hold you accountable for that. They'll question it. They'll ask why. And so, you know, after, you know, many hours of deliberation, we were in a closed executive session, so I can only disclose a few details.
Right.
You know, he was found guilty of a certain bylaw. And so with that, you know, we had to follow a protocol that involved him being removed. But that being said, it didn't affect day-to-day operations. You know, we released a press release, and we meant that when we said it doesn't affect day-to-day operations. I still attended various meetings. We still organized orientation. And it really was just a reflection of, you know, the students is provocative, again, to just hold us accountable. And so, you know, that's something that I try to think about every day is that, you know, that's one of the... It's one of the beauties, but then also kind of the, you know, underlying things about our jobs is that, you know, when you're doing great, people will let you know. When you're not doing great, or maybe you kind of just a little bit MIA, people will also let you know. So it's just kind of being conscientious and being aware of that. But that being said, I still, you know, wake up every day. I'm still loving the organization that I'm a part of. Overall, I think it's only brought us a little closer as a community because, you know, we've seen this and we've said, okay, what can we learn from this? What can we take away? And then how do we move forward? You know, there is no... there's no USG shutdown that's going to be occurring. You know, we're going to continue on as normal.
I see. Well, I appreciate you being so honest with that answer.
Thank you.
So we've got a few minutes left. I think my final question for you would be, what impact do you hope to leave on UConn when you graduate? Like, what do you kind of want to look back and see that you accomplished this time in May or April?
Wow. I was not ready for that.
Save the big one for last.
I think... Okay, I think as cliche as it sounds, just reminding people that they matter, that they have a voice on this campus, and, you know, you can look at a number as large as 19,500 plus and think, like, oof, like, there is no sense of, you know, community. Like, how can you feel unique in such a large population? And I think that's something I do, you know, not just in USG, but also just as Manny as the person, is that I just remind people that they matter. Whether that's starting a conversation with somebody, whether that's asking them about their interests and passions, whether that's diving a little bit deeper into why they're having trouble in a class or with a, you know, professor, and saying, okay, you know, what can we do to help? Because you are not alone on this campus. There's so many students that are feeling the exact same way that I did when I came in to UConn my freshman year. Even when I came into my senior year, I was still a little bit intimidated because I was thinking about how I have this year ahead of me, but then also after this year ends, what comes next. And so just reminding people that you matter, you're not alone, your feelings are validated. And if you see something, say something. You know, agency, urgency, and proactivity are another reason why I joined USG. Because when I see something or I hear about an issue, I can't sleep. I have to go and figure out a way to help this person or maybe to connect them to the appropriate resources. So after a graduate, I hope that students can say, you know what, and he did help me, or he was able to connect me to, you know, a person, place, or thing, and it benefited my experience at UConn overall. And for that, you know, hopefully they can look back fondly on that and, you know, connect that back to USG and say, that's why USG is here, because we're here for the students.
Oh, that's great. I think that's a great message to end on. So that's all the time we have here, but thank you so much, Manny, for sitting down with me.
Thank you so much again for
having us. This has been a great conversation, and thank you to everybody who's out there listening. Thank you to Ethan Smith for creating our theme music. I've been your host, Kara Murray, and I hope everybody has a great Friday and a great weekend.